All right, this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, we want to start back in our Bible study where we left off last week. And to do that, would you read with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He, that's God the Father, hath chosen us in Him, God the Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now last week, we discussed that the division of the chapter having to do with the choice of the Father, God chose us, the redemption of the Son, and by the way, the choice of the Father is us, God chose us, and in chapter 2 he says we were dead in trespasses and sins, and other passages tell us that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. But even before any of this, way before any of this, God the Father chose us. The Son of God redeemed us, we that are chosen by the Father, and that redemption is by His blood. And then God sealed those that He had chosen and redeemed by the blood of His Son, sealed them with the Spirit of truth. And this would be borne out again in other passages, such as 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Ephesians 4, about verse 29 through 32, and along in there. Now, that would be the division of the first chapter, the work of the three, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then we discussed verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we discussed the fact that the subject of the verse is God. Blessed be God. And this God is the creator of heaven and earth. And I try to emphasize the fact that this is the holy and the righteous God, the creator of heaven and earth, that has chosen us. And when I say that, chosen such as we who were without strength, we who were sinners, whatever, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Then the object is us. The object of the verse is us. God is the subject. The thing is about that which God did. And the object is us. We are the object of His love. God loved us. God gave His Son for us. And His Son redeemed us. We're the object of His love. Then the third thing is the motion that is referred to in the passage. God, the subject of the passage. We're the object of the passage. The motion is blessed. And the word blessed is from a Greek word that's E-U-L-O-G-I-A. And from that we get the word eulogy. The word eulogy has to do with heaping praise upon somebody. Saying good things about them or whatever. In other words, God is blessed. That is, we who deserve nothing good to be said about us. We who the truth about us is that we're no good. There's none good, no not one. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and on and on. We, such as we now, have been, in other words, those are the things that man says about us, but the things God says about us is that He prays upon us. Why would God want to praise such as we? Well, the only answer to the thing is one simple word. By grace you're saved through faith. It's faith. In other words, God Almighty heaps praise upon those that believe on Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In other words, if you want to please God, then believe Him. If you do not believe God, you're not pleasing to Him, and He's not heaping praise upon you. No matter if you're a good person, no matter if the world around you says good things about you, if God Almighty isn't saying good things about you. That's going to amount to nothing. And God Almighty, in other words, God has blessed us. Notice a comparison. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we start in verse 15. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, you're they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In other words, that which men speak highly of and praise continually is abomination in the sight of God. But that which is abomination in the sight of men is highly praised with God. What is abomination before men? Believers. Why, Jesus told the apostles, if the world hate you, and he said, if they hate me, they'll hate you, and on the thing goes. I mean, the Bible said that them that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That which is highly praised among men is not praised by God. The word is blessed. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, and this word is used in verse 18. We'll start reading, though, in verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and blessings, eulogies, fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Fair speeches is the same word in the Textus Receptus. In other words, they say good things about people. They heap praise upon other people, and as a result of that praise upon the other people love them. And it's all for, in other words, their God is their belly. They do what they do to receive that praise from men, and they heap praises upon men to get them back unto themselves. All right, God has blessed us. And then, now the subject is God, the object is us, the motion is blessed, the gift is blessings. God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. We discussed the fact that the spiritual blessings are set in contrast to carnal blessings, and it isn't just a matter of saying God has blessed us with good things. In other words, because it's spiritual does not mean that it is good. Although in the passage it is good, but just because you read spiritual in the Bible, that doesn't mean it is good. For in chapter 6, verse 12, he tells us about spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, spiritual could be bad. In this particular passage, the spiritual is good, but all I'm trying to do is trying to distinguish for you what the word spiritual implies in the passage. The word spiritual in the passage is set apart from that which is carnal. God has blessed us with spiritual blessings in contrast to having blessed us with carnal blessings. And these spiritual blessings, by the way, do not imply, though, that God hasn't done anything carnal for us. A type or an illustration of this fact would be Israel at Kadesh Barnea, just before going up to the land. They send spies over into the land, and the spies spy out the land. They get the grapes, and they bring the grapes back. And these grapes are just a sort of a foretaste of that which is in the land. And Israel does not go over and possess the land at that time. They refused to do so. They said they're giants in the land. But that doesn't mean that God Almighty didn't take care of them while they're in the wilderness. They're not in the land of God's blessings yet. They're down in the wilderness. They refuse to go in that land of God's blessings. They refuse to claim by faith those blessings that God had given them. And they're down in the wilderness. They're roaming around in the wilderness for 40 years. But just because they refused to accept the blessings that God had for them in the land does not mean that God Almighty did not give them any blessings. He took care of them for 40 years there. Their shoes didn't get old, nor their clothes ragged. And God Almighty gave them food to eat and water to drink. And God Almighty blessed them in a carnal manner while they were in the wilderness before they got into the land of promise up there. I'm saying to you that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and the blessings referred to are spiritual, set in contrast to carnal. But before we get into that land of spiritual blessings, before we leave this wilderness that we're in, God blesses us with carnal things. For instance, Ephesians 4:19, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in the Lord." I'm saying to you, God Almighty will bless you carnally while we're in this life. But the Ephesians' blessings, the letter to the Ephesians, has to do with something far beyond anything carnal by nature in this life. It's spiritual blessings set in contrast to carnal. Then notice the number of the, the number of them. Let me go back again now. The subject is God. The object is us. The motion is blessed. The gift is blessings. The nature of those blessings are spiritual. And the amount is all. That is, every blessing that is spiritual. God Almighty has blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual. If there is a spiritual blessing, then God Almighty blessed us with that spiritual blessing. In other words, there is no reason to pray at an altar and pray for God Almighty to bless you. What do we do? Notice the thing about the passage. It's so fascinating in there. There is no prayer for anything. There is no laying down this and taking up that. There is no reasoning about it of saying, well, since that we have done this, God has done that. None of those things are there. In other words, just right out of the blue, God Almighty has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. God has blessed us with every blessing that is spiritual. Then what do? We claim them by faith. We accept by faith that which God Almighty has blessed us with. And if you don't want to claim them by faith, that's your problem. I hope you understand. I'm trying to show you don't have to do anything to have them. And it is not a matter of, well, now there are 15 of them, and I need another 15. No way. If you claim them by faith, then all or every spiritual blessing there is yours. How do you get them? By faith. The nature, spiritual, the amount is all, and then the sphere is heaven. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, in heavenly places, or rather in Christ. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And you'll have Ephesians 1 and Colossians 3. All right, now in Ephesians 1, first, notice verse 15, "Wherefore also after that I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know," and he lists several things that you may know. You may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. In other words, God wants us to know this greatness of his power to usward who believe. And it's on the ground, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then these spiritual blessings are ours in Christ, and Christ has been raised from the dead by the Spirit of God, and Christ has been placed in heavenly places far above principality and all power. Now go to Colossians 1, 3, and notice verse 1. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In other words, then our spiritual blessings, which are in Christ, are in heavenly places. For instance, that would be as salvation in Ephesians 2:5. That would be justification, as in Romans 5:1, justified by faith. That would be redemption by the blood of Jesus, as in Ephesians 1:7. That would be faith, as a gift of God in Romans 12:3. Now, that's not the faith to believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That is, the salvation is not of yourselves. But you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a fact of God giving you the faith to believe and denying some the faith to believe. The faith of Romans 12:3 is the faith to do the service that God Almighty calls you to perform. It's a gift of God. It's one of those spiritual blessings from God. Forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 2:13, having forgiven us all trespasses. Grace. Ephesians 3:7. Sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, along in there. All these things are spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ in heavenly places. And the thing is, you see, if you check the list of them, there isn't one of them that has a carnal nature about it. There isn't one thing in all those blessings there that you feel, touch, smell, hear, see, or whatever, except with spiritual eyes. You see them with spiritual eyes. Hence, you find that the religious system of the world never realizes them because everything that the religious world has today is something that you can, it's something tangible. It's something emotional. Something you can feel, touch, smell, hear, see, and so forth. And yet all these blessings are spiritual. They're in Christ Jesus. Christ is in heaven. Therefore, the sphere of these blessings is in heaven. In Christ. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. In Christ.
Hold it, Mark.
1 Corinthians 12. And notice verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, in other words, we are in a spiritual body then, where there are spiritual blessings. And this is in Christ. Turn, please, to Galatians 3. Verse 26. Galatians 3:26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, in Christ Jesus, then, there is no distinction between races or sects or whatever. We're all one in Christ Jesus. In Christ is spiritual. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings, and those spiritual blessings are in heavenly places, and they're in Christ Jesus. Now that brings me to the next thought. That's verse 4. Look in Ephesians 1, verse 4. According, let me read from verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then the cause of God's blessings is according to his choice. And the word according is like this. It's C-A-T-H-O-S. And the word is just simply used, in fact it's used several times in Ephesians, according, but it's used in the sense of on the ground, that. In other words, on the ground of his, on the ground that, or on the basis of, on the foundation of this, are in accord with this, according as he had chosen us. Look in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. In other words, the body is fitly joined together. The body is compacted by that which every joint supplies on the basis of the effectual working in the measure of every part. But if the joints don't do the work that they're supposed to do, then that can't be. In other words, the body, we're one body. Christ is the head. All right? The body is built up by the members in the body supplying the need to the other members in the body. In other words, it's built up according to the working of every member in the body. But folks, if the members in the body don't do the work, then they didn't build up. It's on the ground or on the basis that they do that job. But if they don't do that job, then it didn't build up. Now I'm going back. We're blessed with spiritual blessings in heaven places in Christ on the ground that God had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It wasn't by our works. It wasn't by our goodness. It wasn't by anything that he saw in us that made us do this. Made him do this. It's just on the basis of his choice of us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And of course he had a purpose in mind. Turn please to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, before the world began then, God Almighty had a purpose for us. Let's just say that this right here represents the foundation of the world. This right here represents that which is before that time, and this is that period of time. God Almighty then had a purpose for us, and on the basis of God Almighty's purpose that he had for us, God Almighty chose us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now let's not stumble at predestination and whatever. We tried to cover that last week. Very quickly, for instance, God Almighty foreknew those that would receive his son. In other words, God Almighty didn't just sit back here and say, I've got a purpose for that number of people down there, therefore I'm going to predestinate them unto salvation and predestinate the rest of the world to go to hell. Didn't work like that. There is no such thing as predestination unto hell. God Almighty foreknew those who would trust his son as their Lord and Savior. And foreknowing that they would do so, he predestinated them unto salvation. God Almighty chose them because he had a purpose for them. He had something that he wanted to use them for. And so God, before the foundation of the world, chose them, gave his son upon Calvary to redeem those that he had chosen, redeem those that he had a purpose for, from before the foundation of the world. Turn please to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And I want to read that again and emphasize the way that it is in the passage. It is not, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. It is, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins. Go back to verse 4 again and read with me. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 5, quickened us together with Christ. In other words, God loved us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. God quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Reason. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness in us, toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace. In other words, God then had a purpose for us. That purpose had to do with something that took place back here. For instance, I could put another mark over here, and these right here will match. And that which God Almighty chose us for back here will be done by us over here. And between here and here had to do with the salvation that God had in store for us. In other words, from a point back here in Genesis chapter 1 to a point over here in Revelation, God Almighty is completing the transaction. God Almighty is redeeming that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world and preparing it for the service that is to be rendered by it over here after the world is finished. God has a job for you. This place where we are right now is nothing more than a training ground. And you know something? Even though I jump up and down and scream and yell and holler and whatever, people don't pay any attention to that. I mean, you read verse after verse after verse after verse out of the Bible, and people don't care. I mean, all they want is a cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. If I just get there, it'll be all right with me. You know, all that kind of stuff. Well, folks, God Almighty never called you just to get there. God Almighty never chose you and saved you just to give you a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, had a purpose in choosing you. I never understood why it is that people don't want to get a hold of this thing. Why do they fear the truth so badly? God has a purpose in mind. And you know something? The whole performance of God from here across to here has to do with the preparation of something in the future that's to bring glory to him. We've been studying on Thursday night over here in Ralph's home, and we've been studying Revelation chapter 4 and 5 and discussing the 24 elders around the throne. And you know something? For two or three nights over there, we've gone through some material over there that I'll guarantee you can't find in Pensacola. Say, you're just blowing off your mouth. No, I'm not blowing off my mouth. And people don't know what's going on and don't care. God Almighty had a purpose for us. Notice those elders. Turn to Revelation. And notice Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, implies there's one there at the time, no man in heaven, the 24 elders are men, no man in heaven, nor in the earth, then there's people on the earth at that time, neither under the earth, paradise, Luke chapter 16, Abraham's bosom, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. In other words, the only imperfect body in heaven. And when I say imperfect, I mean imperfect as far as scars are concerned. It'll be the only body there ever seen with a blemish on it, and those blemishes are the marks of our salvation. I mean, every time you look toward that throne, you'll see your Redeemer standing there with the scars on his body. And folks say, I don't believe that. I can't help whether people believe it or not. After Jesus' resurrection, Thomas said, I don't believe any of that. He said, unless I can thrust my hand in his side and put my finger in the hole in his hand, I won't believe. And the Bible said 8 days later, Jesus stood in front of Thomas and said, Thomas, here I am. Go ahead, thrust your hand in my side. And he showed him the nail prints in his hand and said, put your finger in there. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Folks, they're still there. He stands in the front of the throne as a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him and set upon the throne. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Notice that the prayers of the saints are saved. Can you beat that? Folks say, how could God Almighty save my prayers? Well, right now we're recording whatever I'm saying here on a little old recorder right down there. We got a video machine sitting back there and a camera right there, and we're not only recording my words, we're recording my picture as I say them. You tell me that scientists and whatever engineers in this country, in this world today, can perform a system like that where that my words can be preserved for years, and don't believe God can preserve your prayers? You got to be kidding. I mean, they got bowls there, and I don't know, maybe God Almighty got a tape recorder going in heaven. Every time you pray, he turns the tape recorder on. And one of these days, he plays your tape back. I mean, I find that over there in the tabernacle in the wilderness, God Almighty told them the kind of incense they could offer, and the incense is a type of prayer, and the incense had an absolute formula to it. Think about it. I mean, listen, the formula could not be changed. It had to be exactly according to the formula that God Almighty gave Moses. And they fixed that incense according to that formula, and that incense was burned on the altar, and it was a sweet smell in the nostrils of a holy and a righteous God. But if any man burned strange incense upon that altar, God would kill him. Boy, I wonder how much strange incense is going up out of Pensacola this morning. That isn't all. Did you ever notice that they couldn't use that incense as a perfume for themselves? They couldn't use it to smell. They couldn't use it because of the odor of it. They couldn't use it because they loved it. Did you ever notice that? I mean, folks say, well, I really enjoyed that prayer. God Almighty saves prayers. And these 24 elders have the prayers in bottles. Verse 9, and they, the elders, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain as redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They're not angels. They're not cherubims. They're not seraphim. They're men. Verse 10, and it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. God Almighty had a purpose for somebody there. And their purpose is to bring praise unto God. And please observe that they have crowns. And you find that they throw these crowns before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have an action. They have an activity. They have a work to perform. Folks, we got a work to perform. God Almighty had a purpose in choosing you. Do you know what that purpose is? And there's a day coming that God Almighty is going to get you ready for that. Turn, please, or rather, he's going to use you for that, that he's getting you ready for now. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 again, please. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, the ones that he's chosen and redeemed, raised up, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, then God Almighty chose us, redeemed us, God Almighty quickened us, raised us up, and we are now his workmanship. We are that which he is molding. We are that which he's working upon, preparing us unto good works that are to be done in the future, according to his purpose that he had in mind for us before the foundation of the world. Turn, please, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 19, Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Notice the formation of Christ in every believer. In other words, we got Romans through Philemon as a study course that we're to study as we conform to the things of Christ in that study course. In other words, I want to know how Christ would have me to be. I start in Romans and go through Philemon, and I find how he wants me to be, and I conform to that image. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, we with the Spirit of God in us, as we behold the image of Christ in a glass. The glass is the Word of God. It's a mirror. We look in the mirror, and we not only see the image of Christ in that mirror, but we see ourselves in there. And we are changed by the Spirit of God in us, working in us. As we conform to the truths of the Word of God, we're changed to the form that is in that mirror there. We're made in the image of Christ. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. And that's spiritual baptism, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12:13. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, God Almighty is going to make us like his Son then. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Remember, we started out talking about his purpose. God Almighty chose us and called us out of purpose for us. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? God Almighty had a purpose for us. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us on the basis of that purpose. God Almighty justified us, redeemed us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty gave us his Word, which is a mirror unto us. We look into that mirror and we see ourselves as we really are, if we're honest. I mean, so many times, though, we act like people before a mirror today. I mean, the person looks in a mirror and their hair is getting gray, so they get some kind of color and they put on it to change what is the real thing. I mean, a fellow looks in the mirror, a woman looks in the mirror, and she sees wrinkles in her face. She goes down to the drugstore, and she buys certain kinds of cream and whatever to put on her face to remove the wrinkles. She doesn't want to see the truth. A man looks in that mirror, and he sees wrinkles and whatever. He sees those crow feet behind by his eyes there and whatever. And let's just say that he's in the show business or whatever. So he goes up and has some doctor to take a scalpel and stretch his skin around there so that the wrinkles disappear. I mean, people don't want to admit what they are. They don't want to look like what they are. How about you? When you look in this mirror, what do you see there? Do you see yourself the way you want people to see you? Or do you see yourself the way God Almighty really sees you and say, I see the truth, Lord. I admit that I am what I am. Now conform me to thy image. Make me like thy son. I mean, the man looks in the Word of God, and the Spirit of God in him brings conviction that conforms him to that image in the Word of God. And folks, may I recommend a real study of the life and attitude of Jesus Christ. His attitude toward sinners. His attitude toward religious people. His attitude toward the Sanhedrin, and on, check it out. Are you being conformed to that image? In other words, the whole thing is that God Almighty has in mind saving us out of this world here, making us like His Son, and in that place over there in the future, likened to that that was back here in the past, we will be duplicates of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying duplicates in the physical sense, duplicates in the spiritual sense. Whatever God's Son is spiritually, that's what we will be in the completed transaction. But you know something? Before all this, there is that day when you, as a servant of the Lord, take that crown that He gave you for the work you did here, and you lay that crown before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory. Will you be able to do that? Will you have a crown to present to the Lord? Those 24 elders cast their crowns as they sing a song of praise unto Him that redeemed them. How about you? All right, in Ephesians chapter 1, we discuss the verse. The subject of the verse is God. The object is us. The motion is blessed. The gift is blessings. The nature of the blessings are spiritual. The amount is every one that is spiritual. The sphere of those blessings is heavenly. The condition is in Christ Jesus. And the cause is according to God's choice and purpose. Next week, Lord willing, we'll consider the time in the verse before the foundation of the world. And folks, let me stress, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Whatever you're doing next Sunday morning, stop it and come to the Sunday school. Say, what's so great about you? There's nothing great about me. But there's everything great about the Word of God. And next Sunday morning, I believe that we can find some things in the Word of God that will explain some things, some links that are missing in this thing about what God has in store for us, how it got started, why it got started, and what's the climax of it all. Let's take a break right now.